Our founding fathers, here in this country, brought about the only true revolution that has ever taken place in man's history. Every other revolution simply exchanged one set of rulers for another set of rulers. But only here did that little band of men so advanced beyond their time that the world has never seen their like since, evolve the idea that you and I have within ourselves the God-given right and the ability to determine our own destiny. But freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same.
If we lose freedom here, there is nowhere else to run to. We are the last stand on earth. The question is, will we fight for freedom, or will we go down with a muzzled whimper of the already beaten? In some corners of the state and nation, we've already got the muzzled part down. Now we're just waiting on the whimper. And that's what they're waiting on too, by the way, for us to run up the white flag and say we've had enough. Just leave us alone, we'll do what you want. But my friends, that is not what Americans do. And that's not what we do here either. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to another scintillating episode from high above all other stupidly pedantic forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Did you ever think we'd get to the point where you could be threatened with arrest for not wearing a muzzle on public property, not because a health officer said you had to have a mask, but because some elected official said you had to wear a mask on public property? I think they've forgotten that they are our employees. They work for us, not the other way around. Just because they got elected to some lowly school board position, which, by the way, doesn't even put them in the political hierarchy, they're a municipal or county employee. That's it. They're our representative to the school. But anyway, just because they happen to get elected to that position, they think that they can make health orders, which, by the way, none of them are health officers. They're elected bureaucrats. But they think that they can make health orders and tell us parents what to do with our children. Really, I only have one question. How long are you going to take this crap from them? Because that's what it is. Bull crap. But if you're under the silly impression that being muzzled was the biggest one of your problems, you're sorely mistaken. Now we have the President of the United States signing an executive order saying that if you own a business of 100 employees or more, all of them have to be vaccinated. Today, a friend of the program, Representative John Bear, is going to discuss with us all of these issues, including a couple more. But before we do that, some totally egregious self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps, iHeartRadio, Apple, iTunes, really any of them will work, but the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows, as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you're dumber than a box of rocks, well, then you need to go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself, just like you should have been doing these last 40 years, but apparently we're too stupid to. Couple of program notes before we really get rolling with the program. On Friday, September 17th, Cowboy State Politics will be broadcasting live from the Rural Wyoming Matters U.S. Congressional Forum. And while a number of candidates have dropped out, the forum is still going on, so we'll be there live. The show is going to start at 5:30, and the event will begin at 6. So make sure that you tune in for that. You don't want to miss it. It would appear that some Wyoming politicians are trying to explain away what they did with the SAPA bill last year. So probably next Wednesday, we're going to have a little discussion about what exactly happened when the Senate gutted the SAPA bill. Yeah, some of these politicians are just kind of trying to blame it on others when they, in fact, were the ones that were chiefly responsible for gutting that piece of legislation. Isn't that right, Senator Dave Kinski? Well, anyway, probably coming next week, we're going to talk about that whole thing. Saturday's installment of Weekend Update, I'm just going to replay the forum from the previous evening that was live broadcast, so just wanted to give you a heads up on that one. On with the program. Here's my interview with John Baer. I'd like to welcome back to the program Representative John Baer. It's been a long time since we've heard from him, given all of the vaccine mandates and mask mandates that are happening in Wyoming right now, that we ought to talk to him. He just recently put out a video requesting Wyoming citizens call the governor and express their displeasure with all of these mandates. John, first, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mr. Iverson. Thanks for having me.
Easy on that Mr. stuff. John, I think where I'd like to begin is, why don't you just tell our listeners about the video that you just posted on your Facebook page?
I'll tell you, I really feel like we're at a crossroads here where if we as a citizenry are not ready to stand up and fight and protect our rights, then we're going to lose them. The left and the establishment are having a no-holds-barred approach to just destroying the Constitution. And Biden's speech on Thursday was the most egregious overreach of government that I've seen. Even the governor stated that. And so I think it's time for us to do something about it, both legislatively. And that video was a call to action for people to call their legislators and to call the governor, but also to be prepared to take action individually. If you watch the entire video, I warn people they need to be prepared. I state that our founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to give us this particular republic. And I ask the question, who are we to think we should give any less to keep it? And I'll tell you, those founding fathers, many of them gave all three.
Most of the people that signed the Declaration did exactly that.
So we're really at that point, I believe. And so that was a call to action. And I want people to get prepared that their lives are going to change unless we stop this action. And they may have to change just to stop this action, because it's a snowball effect and it's really taken off. And we know that Banner Health plans on enacting their mandate on November 1st. But now every hospital and every doctor's office that receives Medicaid or Medicare, they're on notice and they're all preparing to do this. And so it's not just the extended care facilities, which we're very concerned about. It's every medical facility. And I can tell you that I've heard from constituents that, you know, they've got medical conditions that it could change their lives just to take this drug. And so they don't want to do it. They don't want to take that risk and their life changing. Their own doctors are telling them that this is not a good idea. And yet their doctors are told that they can't give them a medical exemption based on the restrictions that the United States General Attorney General has put out. And that is just atrocious, that the United States Attorney General can dictate your health choices, considering our Constitution has a medical freedom, Healthcare Freedom Act in it. And that's Article 1, Section 38 of the Wyoming Constitution. And here we have an attorney getting between doctors and patients.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there shouldn't be anybody in between me and my doctor. You brought up that some doctors have told their patients that this vaccine is probably not going to be a good idea for them. I happen to be one of those people, you know, having an autoimmune condition, and the side effects of this vaccine are not known. I know that the government keeps saying, oh, it's safe and effective, but that's not true. Like, there hasn't been enough tests done on it, and it hasn't been out long enough to know what the effects of it might be. So, John, I guess my next question would be, the government has a lot of ability to affect different parts of our life. Where, in your opinion, should that ability stop?
Well, exactly where the Constitution says it should stop. We have enumerated abilities for the government to act, and we're acting well outside of those enumerated powers. So we need to get back to that. And that's a big ask when we have become dependent on our federal government for funds that we generate and give to them, for them to graciously give that back to us so that we can live on those funds. So to ask people to change in a way that they're no longer going to accept federal funds, that's huge. But honestly, how else can we ever change the situation we're in today?
Well, the only way that we can change that is to be reliant on ourselves. I mean, we started talking about the founding fathers, and that was one of the main reasons why we fought the American Revolution, is that we don't want government involvement. We want to have personal responsibility and personal liberty to manage our lives the way that we see fit, not the way that the government sees fit.
Well, you say it right when you say that personal responsibility. That freedom that comes with that is what has made America great. And I believe that's what's made Wyoming great. We are willing to have a much higher risk tolerance than most places. And that's why people are trying to move here from other states that are way more onerous in their government behavior. So that's also why the United States, when you compare it to the rest of the world, our borders are being inundated with people wanting to come here to experience the freedom and liberty that we have. But if we are not willing to continue with those, just those audacious risk-taking that have made us great, then we're doomed. And, you know, I was reading Alex de Tocqueville this summer, and one of the things he says in American Democracy is that the sailors in that day, in the early 1800s, would take more risk than any other sailors in the world. And they would put their entire investment at risk just so they could operate at a lower cost than their competition in other countries. Well, I thought about that, and I think that in most countries, our wealth, people's wealth and their livelihoods are given to them by the sovereign. Whereas here, our livelihoods, our freedoms are God-given. And if we lose things, we can rebuild them. Whereas if the sovereign takes them away from you in another part of the world, you're lost. You have no way to recoup your losses. And so that's why we're more risk tolerant in the United States. And when we were more and more risk tolerant, we were greater than we are today. And that's what has made Wyoming greater than other states. That's why 69% of Wyomingites are not vaccinated at this point. And that's my belief anyway.
Do you think that that's a problem, that so many people here aren't vaccinated?
No, I think I just illustrated that that's what makes us great. It's this high risk tolerance.
So on September 3rd, the Freedom Caucus, which you're a member of, put out a statement concerning all of these mask mandates. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this was an effort to do something. I mean, obviously, we knew that November 1st was going to be a deadline for those employees of Banner Health. And people around the state were waking up to the fact that the federal government was using corporations to accomplish what they couldn't do through their own legal means. And so people were saying, we want you to stop this. We looked at it as something, you know, we could come out with a statement because honestly, we have 18 to 20 votes in the House. It's not enough to change policy. And so we could look at this as an opportunity to make a statement and ingratiate our base, or we could come out and try to get something done. And so we made an effort to try to get something done. It wasn't ideal at the time, but it was something that we felt that the governor would take action on. He has yet to do that. We did go see him and ask him to support this effort. He hasn't done that. But in the meantime, President Biden came out with his statement, and it really is a game changer. Changes everything. Our position has to change. It's not about finding something that works for a legislature that is less than conservative. Now it's time to push back against the Biden administration and do so as strongly as possible.
Well, quite frankly, his speech on Thursday was nothing short of terrifying. I've never heard an elected official in in the United States speak so tyrannically. It was absolutely shocking. So one of the things that has been brought up recently, in fact, it's on the front page of the Red Star right now, is that Wyoming may convene a special session. Is that what you've been hearing, John?
It is, and I do hope that that comes to fruition. We asked the governor to do that two Fridays ago, and we did so because that's the only way I, as a legislator, can do anything to protect the people of Wyoming, is for us to get into session and debate and then pass bills that allow the governor to make them law that protect our citizens against this overreach.
Are there any bills that you're aware of that people are drafting? Could you tell us anything about that?
There are bills that are being drafted to outlaw vaccine passports, which currently we have an executive order from the governor doing that, but we need to put that in statute. There are bills that would limit corporations' ability to mandate vaccines and would give guidelines for that. And there are going to be bills that will completely prohibit vaccine mandates.
One of the things, and I've brought this up on the program, is that on the one hand, we have Article 1, Section 38 of the Constitution. That's the Health Care Freedom Amendment. But on the other hand, Wyoming is a right-to-work state where your employer can dismiss you for any reason or for without reason. So how do you square those two things, Representative?
Well, this is how I square it. I square it in that we have stood as a caucus, the Wyoming Freedom Caucus, for those business owners and their protections and their liberties. But this is an instance where they are trampling on an individual's rights and liberties, and we must stand to protect those first.
All right. Well, across Wyoming, we're seeing school districts put out mask mandates. I don't know exactly how many counties have done it so far, but there are at least three that I know of, maybe more. What's your position on a school district putting out a mask mandate or a mask order or whatever you want to call it?
I don't think they have the legal authority to do that. That really should be handled by the county health officer for that area. And if it's in a municipality, it should be the municipal health officer. If there is no health officer, then it should come up to the state health officer. But if the health officer is not requiring a mandate of masks, then I don't understand why a school district would. I understand that the effort would be to avoid having to do classwork outside of the classroom. They're trying to keep students in the schools. I think that's honestly their effort, but I think they're misguided in that effort. And they definitely don't have the authority to take away the right of the parents to choose how their children will fight this virus, other than if a health officer were to step in and say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do these particular orders.
Now, I attended a school board meeting in Sheridan School District number 2. The thing that was so infuriating about it is the people on the school board, they let these parents pour their hearts out. In my opinion, they made really persuasive arguments. There was a professor from the college, from Sheridan College there, that spoke against mask mandates. And at the end of it, John, these tyrants just said, yeah, we're going to do a mask mandate anyway. So they'd already made up their decision ahead of time. And, you know, it's like they aren't listening to the people at all.
Yeah, I mean, that same audacity to go ahead and try to create a health order as a as a school district, I think is right up that same alley. And you're probably aware that the same situation happened in Goshen County, where a large number of people came and demanded that they have the right to choose for their own children whether they were to wear a mask or not. And again, they were ignored by the Board of Trustees. And I just think that because we have allowed these people to serve in these positions without holding them accountable in the past, my guess is that they really feel like they are empowered to do just whatever they want. Their way is the only way. And that's unfortunate, because I think that the people will remember this come next November.
unfortunately, in Wyoming, you know, recalling a public official is a pretty difficult procedure, as you well know, since you ran a recall bill in this past session. So what else are parents to do? We'll get back to the program in just a second, but first, a totally obscene profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings Lessons in Classic Values. Lesson number 5, warmth. You know what they say, gentlemen, happy wife, happy life. And nothing will tick them off more than being subjected to the outside elements when they ought to be subjected to the inside ones. And worse yet, of course, is if the livestock have to put up with the outside elements when they're actually sitting inside. Morton Buildings suggests the Morton Advantage. They utilize a full blanket of insulation from column to column and from below floor level to the ceiling, eliminating cold spots in the wall. This is really important if you're trying to keep your livestock all nice and warm and cuddly, and also not tick off your wife. So gentlemen, get on the ball, give Nick and Jesse a call at 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. This has been Morton Buildings Lessons in Classic Values on Cowboy State Politics. Cowboy State Politics will have a special announcement sometime next week about a new direction the program is taking. Well, another direction the program is taking. This program is growing faster than any other in the state of Wyoming, and right now we're at 31,400 downloads. That's a huge number, and it's all thanks to you, the listeners. And to tell you the truth, it already is the largest conservative program in the state of Wyoming. If your group's or company's values line up with those of Cowboy State Politics, well, then you need to shoot me an email at david@cowboystatepolitics.com. There's plenty of advertising opportunities that are available on the program. And if you've been looking for a place to advertise but just can't find an outlet that matches up with your company's values, well, then shoot me a message and let's get that conversation started for you. Don't forget about the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. Like it, share it, follow it, tell everybody you know about it. And again, we've only got 2 days before the first Cowboy State Politics live event from Rawlins, Wyoming that's going to happen on Friday. Everything's going to kick off at 5:30 with the program starting at 6. We'll have complete coverage of the event and some interviews with some of the participants along the way. So make sure that you don't miss Friday evening live from Rawlins, Wyoming on Cowboy State Politics. You can find the link on the website under the link tab, or I'll be posting it all over Facebook as well. So make sure that you tune in for that one. And now, back to the program.
As I stated in that video that you mentioned earlier, they need to be prepared to pull their kids out of school. You know, there are more things happening in schools than just the mask mandates and the quarantines that are also an atrocious overreach of government, where we're quarantining children to keep them out of school well beyond what the health requirements really should be. And we've talked before about critical race theory. And I know that our state superintendent of schools has said that she doesn't want this here. We had just this last week, we had two senators come out and say they're going to run bills to try to stop this. I'm here to say that critical race theory is already in the schools. It's already in the classroom. And I don't mean in the curriculum necessarily, but most of our teachers have been educated in our university system. And the university system of the United States is chock full of this stuff. And so children are coming home and espousing CRT mantras to their parents already. And so if that's happening, I guarantee you it's happening because it's already there. And, you know, saying we're not going to allow it in is a nice thing to do, but it's not going to be very effective. So I think that really, if you are concerned about this, you need to be prepared to pull your kids out. And that's a big order because not many people can afford to do that. That means usually an income is going to be lost. It's certainly going to change people's lifestyles. I mentioned in my video that I think people need to be prepared to help their neighbors out when they're trying to educate their children. You know, if we come together as a community, we can achieve a lot of things. But the second thing about this is if we pull children out of the schools, then their funding is reduced. And that's really what allows them to continue down this path of tyranny that you mentioned. And when we take the funds away, that changes a lot. And so if parents do have some power, it's just that it's going to be very costly for them to use that power.
Well, for certain. But I guess my question to parents would be, what is worth sacrificing? We're talking about the education of your children or the miseducation of your children, if you want to put it that way. But, you know, what's more important, you know, the camper or making sure your kid isn't turned into a socialist drone? I mean, to me, that's of course, I don't have kids, but to me, that's an easy answer.
It is. When you really look at what our progeny is to us in the long run compared to those things that we own. But that's a value statement that every individual has got to make. And I will tell you that, you know, John Adams said that this constitution that we have is wholly inadequate for anything other than a moral and religious people. And the reason is our government is based on self-governance. And if you're going to have self-governance, you also have to have self-control. And self-control comes from that moral society. And moral societies come from a religious society. We've gotten away from that. And I think what you're bringing up about parents prioritizing their children's education over the things and the possessions, it really boils down to that same argument.
I think as a general rule, most people misunderstand what the Constitution actually does. The Constitution doesn't tell you what rights you have. It tells the government what it can't do. Everything else is left up to you. And that's where that personal responsibility comes in.
That's correct.
John, last session, you guys passed, and it signed, it's law now. It wasn't signed into law, but it became law. House Bill 127. And that was the healthcare limiting amendments bill. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of the history of it. This bill was sponsored by Speaker Barlow. And initially, this was brought with about three other bills that were basically the same thing, trying to rein in the health officer's powers so that this unelected person could not arbitrarily shut down our economy. The essence of the laws that allowed the health officer to quarantine people was based on past pandemics, and it was expected that the health officer would quarantine the sick, not the healthy. Well, we saw this last summer, not this summer, but the previous summer in 2020, that it was everyone that was quarantined, and businesses were shut down, and our economy was strangled and suffered greatly. And, you know, the people just have very low tolerance for that ever happening again. It should never have been allowed to happen in the first place. So we wanted to make a correction to that. Well, Speaker Barlow's bill, in my opinion, was fairly weak. It was simply giving the governor more say in how this should happen. And he had basically abdicated a lot of his duties, his authority to the health officer, Alexia Harris, during this pandemic. And so giving him more powers and more authority really wasn't going to be an effective change. And so the other bills in the House were basically stopped. His bill moved forward and passed the House. Well, in the Senate, Senator McEwen had Senate File 80, which was a very strong bill. It passed the Senate and was shelved and never came out of the drawer as far as in the House. And so then House Bill 127 was run through the Senate, and they amended, basically they amended Senate File 80 into House Bill 127. So we ended up with sort of an amalgamation of the two bills, and it was reconciled, and it became much stronger than it was when it left the House. So the crux of it is health orders are only good for 10 days, and then an elected official has to step in to extend those health orders for any length of time. So that's the crux of the bill.
So wait a minute. So Alexia Harris issues a health order, the governor signs it, and then 10 days later, she just says to the governor, hey, we needed another 10 days, and he just signs it again?
He has that ability up to 60 days.
And then after 60 days, the whole process has to be reevaluated, or what happens there?
Well, it doesn't actually say, but my expectation is that it would expire at that point and a new health order would have to come out. So, yes, a new evaluation. But it also empowered more local government in this effect. But we're seeing some issues with that in practice right now. So in Goshen County, the school board made a mask mandate for the school district, and the local county commissioners and health officer stated that in a health order signed by the county health officer that masks were not necessary and it would be the parents' choice, basically reversing the board of trustees position. Now, that order was required to be signed by Alexia Harris according to their county attorney. I can't find that in statute, but it's going to take some more research. But it looks like the county attorney at least believed that the state health officer had to approve that order from the county health officer before it could take effect, and she refused to do so.
No, of course she did. That goes right against her. And I don't even know if you can call it an agenda, but through this whole pandemic, Alexia Harris has been pretty inflexible when it comes to masks, at least in my opinion.
It was interesting. During the budget bill, a legislator brought a bill that would defund her position, basically firing her from the legislature. And it got 14 votes. So there was a little bit of interest in chastising her for her behavior over the previous year.
So, John, you mentioned in your video, well, you didn't mention in the video, it was a call to action. Do you get the sense that your colleagues are feeling the same sense of urgency when it comes to freedom and liberty in the state?
Yeah, I do. I think that it's really crushing in on us. And it's unfortunate that we have to be in a defensive position, because that's not the best position to be in something like this. But honestly, the offensive position that the left has taken is unconstitutional. And we have a third branch that is supposed to protect the citizens from any branch making unconstitutional moves. And unfortunately, that's not happening either. And that would be the judicial branch. And so we've got a serious constitutional crisis, in my opinion. And so the only way that we can rectify that is for individuals to rise up and demand that we return to the Constitution. And I think, you know, it's been my experience that representatives, when the people are loud, do pay attention. And so that's why I'm calling for people to call the governor and ask for this special session so that the legislature can put out some bills that will protect us from these vaccine mandates. We need to have a debate, because there's a lot of complexity to this situation, especially with our dependence on federal funds. And that's an issue I wish I could solve right now, but it's going to take a while to get that solved. And then when we do solve it, it's going to be painful.
I think that goes right along with how we started this interview, John, that what are you prepared as an individual to sacrifice? You know, our founding fathers, all 56 of them that signed the Declaration of Independence, most of them died penniless. Yes. Most of them died without a thing, and only a very few of them even lived that far beyond, even lived to see the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So I think the question for each Wyoming citizen is, what are you prepared to do?
I think it's interesting to juxtaposition what Benjamin Franklin said about safety, giving up, if you're willing to give up liberty for safety, you deserve neither. And then you juxtaposition that with what President Biden said on Thursday, that this is not about liberty, this is about safety.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to take those two minds and compare them, if they could debate each other and choose a side.
Well, you'd have to have a mind first to debate, John.
That's what people need to do. They need to choose which side. Are you on the side of Benjamin Franklin? Are you a risk taker like a true American? Or are you on the side of Joe Biden? And are you wanting government to take care of you from cradle to grave?
Well, I know that I've spoke at a couple of events here in northeast Wyoming. Parents are rising up. It's about time, in my opinion. But the two groups I've spoken with, and including my own group here in Johnson County, people are waking up. But you know, it's kind of the nature of Wyoming that we kind of want to be left alone, and we don't want to be that involved in our government. It's one of the reasons we live in Wyoming, is so that we can be left alone. But that time is over. And it's time for us to take back control of our government. We've talked about your call to action. Do you want to just list again those few things that you mentioned in your video that people ought to be prepared to do?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I don't have my notes in front of me, so this will be from memory. But
wing it.
I'm going to wing it. It's pretty clear in my mind. You know, first of all, we as citizens, we've got to be prepared for change in our lives, significant changes. And the first thing that we need to do is ask ourselves, what's best for our own health? Is this drug going to be what we want for our body? Is it going to make a difference? And for instance, if you are at childbearing age, is it worth the risk of losing that ability to have children? And I'm not saying that this particular drug will cause that. We just don't know. But is that worth the protection from a virus that you are 99.5% chance of surviving? So people need to count that cost. They really need to do that wisely. Don't just go out and get the vaccine. Don't just go out and fight the vaccine without knowing what's best for you. So that's number one. Number two is people need to be prepared to leave their jobs. And I think it's best if they force their employers to fire them. That would give them the best position for an unemployment claim in the future if they needed that, if they weren't able to find other employment. But, you know, when we say that our founding fathers pledged their lives, that's number one. You know, figure out what's important to you life-wise as far as this vaccine is concerned. Number two, they pledged their fortunes. Well, your life's going to change if you leave your job. And, you know, a lot of people have worked hard for many years, and that is a hard thing to do. I've counted this cost myself before I ask any of my constituents to count it. I've thought about what these things would be for me. And it's kind of scary. And I can understand that. But again, are we going to be the risk takers that created this great republic, or are we going to be something different? And now's the time. And you say correctly that Wyoming is a special case. And if there's anywhere where we can turn this ship around, it would be Wyoming. And we could be a shining city on a hill to the rest of the world and the rest of our own country. Number three would be, you need to be prepared to take your children out of school. And again, that's a huge life change. But if we're not going to be prepared to do what's best for our children, then what hope do we have? And fourth would be helping your neighbors. You know, we've got to come together. If people are leaving their jobs because of vaccine mandates, we as neighbors have got to help them for standing up for us. They're standing up for everybody when they leave that job. Even those there, I hope that there will be people that are on both sides of the vaccine issue that would fight back against these mandates. And fifth would be the churches. The leadership in churches, whether it's pastors or elders, have got to be looking at their congregations and their communities and looking for ways to help. That's what made a difference back in the 1700s, was the Black Robe Regiment. The churches were willing to lead people in this fight for liberty. And that's what we need as well. So those are the 5 points that I suggest. Of course, prior to any of those things, and those are things to be wrapping your mind around mostly at this point, but the true thing that needs to be done tonight is people need to go to their phones and call the governor and ask for a special session.
Okay. Well, that is a perfect place to leave it, John. And I appreciate you coming on the program and spending a few minutes with us tonight. Once again, you're welcome here anytime you like. You know that. Again, I really appreciate it, John. And you have a good evening, sir.
Thank you. You as well.
As Representative Bear alluded to, the time to sit back and wait for somebody else to do something is gone. Now it is time to do something for yourself and for your family. You've got to get active, you've got to contact your legislators, and you've got to attend public meetings, and you have to be the ones willing to stand up and make a difference. That's all it takes. And if you look at the Wyoming Constitution, all power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on our authority. So it makes perfect sense for us to be the change that we need to seek in the state of Wyoming. So first thing this morning, pick up your phone and spend 5 minutes and call the governor's office and tell him we demand a special session to fight against Biden's vaccine mandates. Tell him we have to have it. That'll about do it for today's program. And we'll talk again on Friday live from Rawlins, Wyoming at the Rural Wyoming Matters Congressional Forum. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.